नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नस्तप्रयेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया भगवत उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is text 14, the dynasties of the sons of Pururava. Canto 9, chapter 17, text number 14. Patāryuparhate putra yachamanaya no dadhu Trivishtapang Mahendrayam Yagya Bhagan Samadidu. Pitari, when their father Uparate passed away. Putra, the sons. Yachamanasnaya, although requesting from them. No, not. Dadhu, returned. Travishtapam, the heavenly kingdom. Mahendrayo, unto Mahendra. Yagna Bhagan, the shares of ritualistic ceremonies. Samadadu, gave. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Upon Raji's death, Indra begged Raji's sons for the return of the heavenly planet. They did not return it, however, although they agreed to return Indra's shares in ritualistic ceremonies. So Prabhupada's purport. Raji conquered the kingdom of heaven, and therefore when Indra, the heavenly king, begged Raji's sons to return it, they refused, because they had not taken the heavenly kingdom from Indra, but had inherited it from their father. They considered it their paternal property. Why then should they return it to the demigods? This is the beginning, actually, of the 17th chapter we're going to read. So, everyone, this is very purifying. Parikshit Maharaj was asking for when Krishna appears and what dynasty and for what purpose. And so he was very inquisitive. And Shukadeva Goswami is giving some very interesting history of from this dynasty and that dynasty. So we'll read this. This is text 1 to 3. Shukadeva Goswami said, from Pururava came a son named Ayu, whose very powerful sons were Nahusha, Kshatravridha, Raji, Rabha, and Anena. O Maharaj Parikshit, now hear about the dynasty of Kshatravridha. Kshatravridha's son was Suhotra, who had three sons named Kashya, Kusha, and Gritsmada. From Gritsmada came Shunaka, and from him came Shonaka. the great saint, the best of those conversant with the Rig Veda. Previously, kings were called Rajarshis. They were saintly, actually, because they were so dedicated and devoted to God in the process of worship, and also how to instruct the citizens and guide the citizens so they can also awaken their godly sentiments and perform their duties properly. So these are all very ancient, great personalities, and because they're in the Bhagavatam, we're getting purified and cleansed just by hearing about them. The king of Kashya was Kashi. His son was Rashtra, the father of Dirghatma. Dirghatma had a son named Dhanvantari, who was the inaugurator of the medical science and an incarnation of Lord Vasudev, the enjoyer of the results of sacrifices. Now hear this. One who remembers the name of Dhanvantari can be released from all disease. How appropriate. So everyone, whose name do we remember? And if you remember Dhanvantari's name, what happens? Become free from all disease. What's the world worried about? The disease of material existence. They're all being engulfed. And they're all fearful. They're all scrambling. They're bewildered because they're not thinking of Dhanvantari or Krishna. So all of us, one who remembers the name of Dhanvantari can be released from all disease. The son of Dhanvantari was Ketuman, and his son was Bhimarat. The son of Bhimarat was Devodas, and the son of Devodas was Duman, also known as Patardhan. Duman was also known as Shatrujit, Vatsa, Ritadvaja, and Kuvala Yashva. From him were born Alarka and other sons. Alarka, the son of Duman, reigned over the earth for 66,000 years. My dear King Parikshit, no one other than him has reigned over the earth for so long as a young man. From Alarka came a son named Santati. And his son was Sunita. The son of Sunita was Niketana. The son of Niketana was Dharmaketu. The son of Dharmaketu was Satyaketu. O King Parikshit, from Satyaketu came a son named Drishtaketu. From Drishtaketu came Sukumar, the emperor of the entire world. From Sukumar came a son named Vitihotra. From Vitihotra, Bharga. From Bharga, Bharga Bhumi. O Maharaj Parikshit, all of these kings were descendants of Kashi, and they could also be called descendants of Kshatravridha. The son of Rabha was Rabhasa. From Rabhasa came Gambira, and from Gambira came a son named Akriya. The son of Akriya was known as Brahmavit. O king, now hear about the descendants of Anena. From Anena came a son named Shudha. His son was Suchi. The son of Suchi was Dharma Sharti, also called Chitrakrit. I'm going to test you if you remember all these names afterwards. From Chitrakrit was born a son named Shantaraj, a self-realized soul who performed all kinds of Vedic ritualistic ceremonies and therefore did not beget any progeny. I guess he was too busy with Vedic ceremonies to worry about progeny. The sons of Raji were 500, all very powerful. on the request of the demigods. Raji killed the demons and thus returned the kingdom of heaven to Lord Indra. But Indra, fearing such demons as Prahlad, returned the kingdom of heaven to Raji and surrendered himself at Raji's lotus feet. The verse we read today, 14. Upon Raji's death, Indra begged Raji's sons for the return of the heavenly planet. But they did not return it, however, although they agreed to return Indra's shares in ritualistic ceremonies. Therefore, Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, offered oblations in the fire so that the sons of Raji would fall from moral principles. When they fell, King Indra killed them easily because of their degradation. Not a single one of them remained alive. From Kusha, the grandson of Kshatravridha, was born a son named Prati. The son of Prati was Sanjay, and the son of Sanjay was Jaya. From Jaya, Krita was born, and from Krita, King Haryabala. From Haryabala came a son named Sahadev. From Sahadev came Hina. The son of Hina was Jayasen. The son of Jayasen was Sanskriti. The son of Sanskriti was the powerful and expert fighter named Jaya. These kings were the members of the Kshatravridha dynasty. Now let me describe to you the dynasty of Nahusha. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 9th canto, 17th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Dynasties of the Sons of Pururava. First time I read a whole chapter for class. Just imagine, previously, the students were called Shrutidar, because they would hear from their guru, their master, the Bhagavatam. They would hear the Vedic science or the purpose of life, and they would retain everything. So all these names, and they have purpose. They have a whole, they're in the history of Srimad Bhagavatam, meant for awakening our love for Krishna. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Today is also the disappearance day of Sri Madhavendra Puri. We'll say something afterward. So the Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears repeatedly in this material world. And Shukadev Goswami, while reciting many of the prominent incarnations of the Lord, because they're unlimited. They give the example that if you're sitting on the ocean, you see the waves keep coming, they keep coming, they keep coming, perpetually. And the amount of incarnations of the Lord is so vast that even Lord Ananta can't count all of them. So everyone is trying to take some proprietorship over something. This is my land, my piece of property. Although that property existed before we've existed, and after we're dead and gone, it's going to continue to exist. Certain nations conquer other nations. You know, always intrigued at how the Vikings would come and, you know, attack France and Italy. And everyone's identifying, this is my land, these are my people. It's all based on the skin disease, the bodily concept of life. And so many kings, And emperors and rulers, they want to establish their dynasty, their name, their reputation. And this is the history of the material world. So Krishna, the Lord, appears time and time again. Not only appears, but he creates everything. So we have to contemplate who's actually the owner of the oceans, of all this vast land. Who's the owner of the millions of stars in the sky? The atmosphere. Who owns all this? Or is this by chance? It's all by chance. So by contemplating, trying to understand that there is a higher force, that actually there's order. It's not just based on speculation and chaos. The Supreme Lord says, Chatur Varnyang Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. The whole order of Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, and also the different ashrams in the Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. It's actually very scientific, a perfect society. And the king, he would allocate some land to his subjects and citizens so they would grow grains and produce food so that everyone can survive and live. You know, we've pretty much bought our ticket to come to the material world because we have ideas of how to enjoy in this world. Krishna's perfect. He's existing in the past, existing now, and existing in the future. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadi Radir Govinda, Sarva Karna Karanam. He's eternal, ever-existing, undying. He's the cause of all causes. And we are small fractions of that. So we also have that eternity, that knowledge, the bliss. But due to struggle with the mind and senses, and because we're looking in our own way how to become happy because we're not fulfilled, so we want to conquer a piece of land. You have land? I want more land. I think if I had money, they say money cannot buy you love, but some people feel that if I have money, I'm very powerful. I can be happy. But it doesn't bring happiness, because even if you have millions and crores of wealth, it's considered in the scripture that everyone is entitled to their quota. You know, you have a father, he likes to give, the king is giving everybody their, imagine if the king is giving property to Dharmatma, and Dharmatma thinks, no, I want all the property, so he starts conquering everyone. The king will not be happy. So Krishna is not happy if one is taking more than his quota, because if one is taking more than his quota, he's considered a thief. And he's punished by the laws of nature. So the nature of everyone in this material world is that they think happiness means the more I can accumulate more land, more power, more followers, more women, money in the bank, I'm secure, I'm happy. But it all can disappear. Coronavirus can take it all away. Some nation is very busy. Everyone's manufacturing there. Goods are going all over the world. They're prospering tremendously. But it seems like insignificant, but a small little thing like a virus can financially crush the whole nation. People are worried. They're very, very disturbed because we're not thinking of Dhanvantari. We're not thinking of the Lord. He is the medicine. He is the cure to free one from the illusion of material disease. The material disease is the bodily concept of life, and the bodily concept of life is perpetuated and fanned. When you fan a fire, what happens? It blazes. You fan that fire, it blazes. So you look at the billboards, and you look at the policies of the advertising agencies, and all materialists, is that we want consumer society. Go out, you know, get as much as you can. Be number one. And so you have billions of people wanting to become number one, and everybody is practically You know, they have this, the cheating propensity, stealing, lying. And because we are not following the scripture as far as Garbhodan Sanskara, there are religious, there are laws. If you live in a state, here we're living in UP, there are laws which govern what is right and what is wrong. And if because I'm from a foreign country, if I think, oh, we keep to the right in America, I'm going to keep to the right, you won't last, because you're going to, even if you keep to the left, you won't last. But at least in India, you're supposed to keep to the left. You got to think that, you know, keep to the left. When people are coming on you, if everyone thinks keep to the left, there's a chance you might not have a head-on collision. But if we start taking the law in our own hands or have no regard for authority, then that's a very dangerous situation. So God, He's a supreme lawgiver. You know, Bhaktarang Jagatapasang Sarvaloka Maheshwarang Suhridang Sarabhutanam Gyatvam Mang Shanti Mrishyati. If we want peace and happiness, then we have to recognize that Krishna is the supreme proprietor. He owns everything. And if we're taking from somebody else, we're considered thieves. So, but we have certain allotment because we are part of Krishna. And Krishna's giving us a plan. He's giving us a plan how we can perform sacrifice, yajna. Because it's not that we think, oh, I want to become spiritual. I want to sit and just chant mantras. I don't like so many big crowds and so many people. I'll sit in a very secluded place and I'll just chant all the time. And we have that desire, and that's understandable. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was criticizing that. What kind of cheating propensity is that? That if one is not imitating or jumping to imitate Haridas Thakur, or jumping to imitate some very spiritually advanced person who can sit and meditate full time, then we're just being cheated. So instead of following our own minds and sense dictations, Krishna, acting as guru, guru parampara, is described that Madhavendra Puri, prior to his appearance, it was ritualistic, kind of ritualistic activities based on serving. This might be a good time. I'm just going to read a little something about Madhavendra Puri, because we're striving, looking for. Western religion usually teaches us that God is someone to fear and revere. In India, though great spiritual masters have long taught that we can go beyond this limited conception and worship God as our master, friend, or child, and about 500 years ago, when Chaitanya Nityananda Prabhu were there, Madhavendra Puri taught that we can even worship God as our dear beloved. Before Madhavendra Puri, most Indians worshipped Lord Krishna in a ritualistic fashion according to strict rules and regulations. Nothing wrong with rules and regulations. Those are required and important. It's not that one who's thinking, oh, in order to consider myself advanced, I have to give up the rules and regulations. That's not the idea here. Such formal worship is necessary for those who have not awakened their natural desire to serve the Lord with love and devotion. So all our religious activities and all our different rules and regulations are meant to help us get Trigunya Vishyaveda Nistrigunyoba Varjuna. Get beyond the modes of nature. Get beyond the false ego. Get on beyond lust, anger, greed, all the different qualifications which keep us bound in illusion. Then we can awaken our natural desire. But Madhavendra Puri was fully absorbed in spontaneous affection for Krishna, and therefore he was able to rise above the forms of worship prescribed for the neophytes. By the way, just for the record, we're all neophytes. Maybe some advanced souls here, but you're well hidden. We're all in the very beginning stages, and by the mercy of the Guru Parampara, by Krishna's mercy, by delivering, you know, you see the sequence of events when Lord Brahma, Narada Muni is instructing everyone, Vyasadeva, and the great acharyas. You know, we jump down to Madhavendra Puri. He also had relationship with Lord Nityananda. So all of this is coming about. It's a plan to help all of us who are stuck in Kali Yuga, stuck with these material bodies and bad qualities, that we can awaken our spontaneous love of God. And he's showing the process that he said, Madhavendra Puri appeared almost mad in his love of God. He loudly chanted and sang the names and glories of the Lord without thinking of time and place. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Also our Russian comrades are doing every Saturday a nice Harinam Sankirtan, so you should join the Sankirtan and dance and chant loudly, not caring for what outsiders. 4 o'clock. Then you could become a madman. Sometimes in his ecstasy, he didn't know whether it was day or night. Sometimes he laughed and sometimes he wept. Sometimes he danced wildly and sometimes he fell to the ground unconscious. Lord Nityananda was also behaving that way. And we should not imitate that, because, obviously, spontaneous feelings and emotions may be there. Sometimes when you get a realization, your hair and your body stands on end, you feel goosebumps. Or when you read Om Ajnanate Marandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Milichandena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. I'm covered because of my desires to enjoy this material world. Mayajakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. Material nature is covering us and keeping us bound in illusion, thinking that we are acting according to our own desires, but actually we're being controlled and manipulated by Rajaguna, Tamaguna, even Sattvaguna. The different gunas, the ropes, are controlling us, so sometimes we behave in such a way that it's not conducive to our spiritual development. So he took absolutely no interest in anything not connected with Krishna. Just imagine, he took no interest in anything not connected with Krishna. And for fear of talking about anything other than the Lord, he always lived without a companion. So that's what you call sadhu sangha. You want to be with those who are talking, glorifying Krishna, glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam, living in the holy Dham, chanting the holy name, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping Tulsi Devi. This is the association we want. If you want to hear politics, you want to hear about all the terrible qualities of somebody, you know, or how lousy the management is, or, you know, how disastrous the world situation is, we can talk politics forever. But everything is in a transcendental platform: sociology, philanthropy, psychology, economics. Everything is provided in Srimad Bhagavatam, very scientifically being given. So he would eat only if someone offered him food. Otherwise, he would simply fast. That takes a lot of confidence that a sannyasi, he has faith that the Lord is protecting me. He's guiding me. And this faith is very valuable, because otherwise the fear factor will set in and we start getting fearful, thinking, I need to make arrangements for everything. But again, we're not imitating these. These are characteristics of liberated, exalted personalities. So we need to take guidance from our spiritual master, from the Shastra, and we need to do things in a gradual, progressive way. Because in the Vedic literature, it describes, for those who desire this, perform this activity. For anyone who wants a good wife, you do this. You want wealth, you do that. But if you, by following the Vedic instructions and injunctions, the things that we do want in this material world, at least we're following guidance, and ultimately, with the hope of proper following the Vedic literature, proper following of Krishna's instructions and Guru instructions, we'll lose the desire for these things. We'll lose the desire for anything which is not related to Krishna. So in many remarkable ways, Krishna returned Madhavendra Puri's intense love. Once Madhavendra was fasting and meditating beneath a tree in the forest of Vrindavan. So we have a lot of trees here in Vrindavan. So if you want to slightly imitate, you can sit and meditate under a tree in Vrindavan. We have that facility. But this is good imitation. As long as you're chanting Hare Krishna, it's okay. So once Madhavendra Puri was fasting and meditating beneath a tree in the forest of Vrindavan, where thousands of years before Krishna had played as a child, suddenly a beautiful cowherd boy, Gopal, came with a pot of milk and placed it before Madhavendra Puri. "Please drink the milk I have brought you," the boy said. Seeing the beauty of the boy, Madhavendra Puri became satisfied in his mind. And hearing these sweet words, he forgot all hunger and thirst. Just like Parikshit Maharaj, he's hearing the nectarine words of Shukadev Goswami about the goal of life. And so he lost the idea of hunger and thirst. Prabhupada explains that if you fix your mind that today's a fast day, you know, Ekadasi, and you have that determination, I want to fast, it'll help you conquer the idea of hunger and thirst. You know, if you put your mind in resolute determination, of course, we have to make the endeavor. It's not that everything is just so mystical that we hope that Krishna puts his hand on our head and we become enlightened and automatically everything will become good. Then now I can go back home, back to Godhead. That may happen. And that is special kripa, guru kripa. Yeah. But generally, you have to be enthusiastic and work hard to achieve Krishna consciousness. It doesn't happen just by chance. So within an instant, the boy left the place and did not return. Madhavendra Puri's heart was filled with wonder. Later he realized who the boy actually was and cried out in great ecstatic love, "I saw Lord Krishna directly, but I could not recognize him." So the process of bhakti means that we want to see Krishna everywhere, in everything. And we'll learn to recognize him by hearing from Shastra, by chanting the holy name and purifying the heart. When there's tremendous dust in the mirror, you can't see. Even sometimes when you took that hot shower, it's all smoggy. You can't even put your tilak on. You got to clean it out so you can see straight. So we have a lot of dust on our mirror. We have a lot of dust on our many desires, many, many births. Not only in this millennium, but millennium after millennium. We're conscious now. When we're sleeping, we're like semi-conscious, sleeping. But also, at the time of devastation is another kind of unconscious state. Although millions of years may go by, you again come to the next millennium and again go through the cycle of birth and death in this form and that form, become a great king or become a worm in the stool. Soon afterwards, the same cowherd boy appeared to Madhavendra Puri in a dream and revealed to him the location of the Gopal deity. A Brahmana priest had tried to hide this deity of Krishna from Mohammedan soldiers and had buried him nearby. In a dream, Krishna told Madhavendra Puri, "For many days I have been observing you, and I have been wondering, when will Madhavendra Puri come to serve me?" So Krishna is in our heart, and he's observing us, and he's wondering, when will this jiva come and serve me? And so all of us are actually very, very lucky, because we're sitting in front of Srila Prabhupada, in front of the Lord himself, and we're making that endeavor to turn towards him. "Now that you have come, please unearth the Gopal deity, who is none other than my very self." So out of intense love, Madhavendra Puri excavated the Gopal Didi, built an exquisite temple for him, and arranged for lavish daily worship. I have accepted your service, said Gopal, because of your ecstatic love for me. In the same way, Srila Prabhupada established such a beautiful Krishna Balaram Mandir. And if you see the deity worship, the standard, the beauty of the dress and the deities, that it's actually influenced so many others to also come to a higher level. The Lord is there. By seeing the beauty of the deities, people's natural devotional sentiments are awakened, and their desires to enjoy the temporary, they leave. They go away. It may seem hopeless for us because we're so ingrained with trying to enjoy and twist things according to our own imagination. It's like, you know, I have no hope. But the power of the Maha Mantra, the holy name, the sacrifice, by doing the yajna for this age, we can clean the heart. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava mahadev agni nirvapanam. To test Madhavendra Puri's love still further, in another dream, Gopal asked him to bring a special kind of sandalwood pulp to cool his body. Gopal was still feeling hot from being buried in the jungle for so many years. And sandalwood pulp is well known for its soothing, cooling effect. In the summertime, we put a nice sandalwood in Srila Prabhupada. And this is all very scientifically presented. Bring sandalwood pulp from Jagannath Puri, said Gopal. Kindly, go quickly. You must. And no one else can do this for me. So just imagine. Delighted with this chance to serve his dear Lord, Madhavendra Puri set off on foot on the arduous 800-mile journey. So here the guru is telling you, I need this. Oh yes, I'm enthusiastic. It's 800 miles away, you got to walk. Okay, so gonna takes enthusiasm and determination. So along the way, he stopped in Remuna at the temple of Gopinath. And this deity of Krishna showed him another loving favor. Every day the temple priests offered Gopinath 12 pots of the most delicious sweet rice in the world. Who's had the delicious sweet rice from Gopinath Mandir? Remuna. Look at, they're all so fortunate, you see. I may have forgotten. So this is Madhavendra Puri wanted to taste a little of it so that he could prepare a similar sweet rice for his own deity, Gopal. But Madhavendra Puri immediately checked this thought and felt that he had committed a great sin by wanting to eat what was being offered to the Lord. Without saying a word to anyone, Madhavendra Puri left the temple and went to get some rest in a stall in the town marketplace. You know, we start thinking, oh, feast coming, this and that. So you feel the subtleties. This is actually an offering meant for the Lord. So in one sense, you know, we have to have the proper mentality that everything is for the Lord's pleasure. We should not think that this is mine. This much is for Krishna, but this is, nothing belongs to us. We come in with nothing. We may accumulate something, but ultimately, it all goes back. We're left with nothing in this material world, other than either ashes, stool, isn't it? Some people burn the body. Others are devoured by various animals, worms, you're buried. So, but the body is not our very self. We're the eternal spirit soul. And as long as we act for the body on the bodily platform, we'll continually get bodies. But when we act on a spiritual platform, means calling out the name of God, hearing about Krishna, associating with Vaishnavas, taking prasad after it's offered prasad, yeah? So dutifully the priest awoke, found the pot of sweet rice and took it to the marketplace. Oh, sorry, I missed a part. Meanwhile, Gopinath Didi spoke to one of his Brahmana priests in a dream. Please get up and open the door to the temple. There you will find a pot of sweet rice I have kept for Madhavendra Puri. Take it to him. He is sleeping in the marketplace. The priest awoke, found the pot of sweet rice, took it to the marketplace. Then he began to call out, Madhavendrapuri, Madhavendrapuri, please come and take this pot of sweet rice. Lord Gopinath has stolen it for you. Please take it and enjoy it to your heart's content. You are the most fortunate person in the world. On hearing this invitation, Madhavendrapuri came out with ecstatic love. He ate the sweet rice, and the Lord had sent him. To this day, the deity in the temple of Remuna is known as Kshirachora Gopinath, the deity who stole sweet rice for his pure devotee. So that's on a very personal level. Your father, Krishna. Imagine when someone's paying close attention to you, giving you love, giving you attention, chastising you, whatever it might be. But that love is very, very personal. So Krishna is a person, the supreme lovable object. And when we see Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, the way they interact with one another and the love they're giving to everyone, Krishna Balaram with all the cowherd friends, oh, we want the tala fruit, we want this, you know. And Krishna's taking care of all their desires and protecting them. They drank the water in Jamuna Kaliya, poisoned them all. And Krishna took care of everything. So this faith and this intimate relationship is being experienced here by Madhavendrapuri. After this incident, Madhavendrapuri pondered, thought about, the Lord has given me a pot of sweet rice, and when the people hear of this tomorrow morning, there will be great crowds. Thinking in this way, Madhavendrapuri offered his obeisances to Gopinath on the spot and left Ramuna before the morning light. Why? You know? It's not nadanang, najanang, nasundaring. Lord Chaitanya was also avoiding all the followers and crowds. Here, such an exalted devotee, you think, the Lord, for me, got sweet rice, you know? Everybody's appreciating. It might be a gratifying feeling, thinking that I am special in the eyes of the Lord, you know? I need some special recognition. And this is very dangerous, because if we're looking to be recognized, we don't want to take anything away from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Lord of everyone. After much walking, he reached Jagannath Puri and obtained 82 pounds of Malayan sandalwood, a valuable burden of love to bring back to his Gopal deity. Prabhupada makes a comment about Malayan sandalwood is very popular. It was in high demand. He said now they're making rubber instead of sandalwood. But people have lost their idea of value, spiritual value. They're looking more towards economic development and gain. Even though he had to pass through provinces heavily patrolled by Mohammedan soldiers and infested with bands of thugs, Madhavendrapuri was not at all anxious. He was concerned only about carrying the sandalwood back to his beloved Gopal. And he didn't take personal inconveniences or impediments into consideration. He just wanted to serve the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada, he sent Tamal Krishna Maharaj to China. He sent Brahmananda to Africa. Many of the devotees were sent many places. You know, we'd go in our vehicles and go town to town, village to village, meet opposing elements. Sometimes you end up in jail. Police harass you, or different thugs or gangs of people. Sometimes they're envious of devotees performing the Sankirtan. I remember one time we were doing kirtan near the ocean and somebody threw one of the devotees in the ocean. But we had none of these convenience. We're not worried about our personal inconvenience or impediments, but we just enthusiastically want to serve Krishna. When he arrived at Remuna, Madhavendrapuri again visited the temple of Gopinath, and the priest there again served him the famous sweet rice. Now Madhavendrapuri still had the longest and most difficult part of the journey ahead of him. But as he slept at night, his own Gopal deity appeared in a dream and said, Oh, Madhavendrapuri, there is no difference between my body and Gopinath's body. They are one and the same. Therefore, if you smear the sandalwood pulp on his body, you will also be smearing it on my body. Thus, the temperature of my body will be reduced. You should not hesitate to act according to my order. Believe in me and just do what is needed. In this way, Gopal saved his devotee from possible injury at the hands of enemies. So not that in our neophyte stage, all our dreams, you know, of course, dreams are valuable. We sometimes dream Prabhupada or dream of Krishna. We dream of devotional service. These are all very good. But also we have to consult sadhu, shastra, guru, not become a sentimentalist, fanatic, that's only acting based upon our own ideas. But here, this is shastric, this is authorized scriptural evidence. We have to always, can't accept someone as God unless it's described in the scriptures. We can't accept the process of religion unless it's directed and spoken of by God himself in the form of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabhagavatam. Such literature is there to guide us so we don't deviate. So Madhavendrapuri passed the Lord's test of his love and devotion. We're all tested. To this day, people who travel to India can visit the deities of Gopal and Chora Gopinath and experience some of the same devotional feelings that inspired Madhavendrapuri. So by hearing about Madhavendrapuri, you can experience some of the same feelings. By hearing about Dhanvantari, you can be free from all disease and virus. By hearing about Krishna Balaram, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a heart becomes cleansed. So Madhavendrapuri's love, the pinnacle of devotion. We can experience God in different ways. Some worshippers know him as the formless, all-pervading spiritual effulgence. Others experience him in their own hearts as a super soul, Paramatma, the witness, guide, the well-wishing friend. But the most advanced worshippers, such as Madhavendrapuri, see God face to face in his original form as Krishna, the cowherd boy, the supreme personality of Godhead. So although there are many religions and many processes of worship, many things people can do, by doing what our guru, Srila Prabhupada, is telling us to do, chanting the holy name and hearing Bhagavatam, we can have a personal relationship. We can see Krishna face to face, as you could turn and see Krishna right there, face to face. He's present. So to accept loving service from his pure devotee Madhavendrapuri, the Lord appeared personally before him, spoke to him, and gave him a pot of milk to drink. In all religions, there's some feeling of love of God, but such love varies in degrees of intensity. In his book, The Nectar of Devotion, the great Krishna conscious spiritual master, Srila Rupa Goswami, has analyzed the different kinds of love of God. First, we may passively appreciate the sublime qualities of the Lord, as did the Kumaras, the four celibate sons of Lord Brahma. Progressing further, we come to the stage of desiring to serve the Lord as a spiritual master. Hanuman, the monkey servant of Lord Ramachandra, exemplified the kind of love. In time, when the relationship of servant and master becomes more intimate, we may advance to the stage of friendship with the Supreme Lord. Krishna's cowherd boyfriends are examples. Still more advanced is the worship of Krishna as our child. At this stage, Krishna allows the worshipper to take the superior role of his mother, like Yashoda, or father, like Nanda. The highest form of love is that displayed between lover and beloved. The gopis, milkmaids of Vrindavan, love Krishna in this way. And all the gopis, the Lord's eternal consort, Srimati Radharani, displays this conjugal love of God to the highest degree. at his life's end, Madhavendra Puri was deeply absorbed in conjugal love for Krishna. In great ecstasy, he repeatedly uttered the famous verse, beginning with the lines, O my Lord, O most merciful Master, when shall I see you again? It is said that this verse was originally spoken by Srimati Radharani herself. Before the time of Madhavendra Puri, nearly all devotees worshipped Krishna alone, without his female counterpart. But after Madhavendra Puri introduced conjugal love of God into India's spiritual life, more and more devotees began worshipping Krishna together with his eternal consort, Radha. One short paragraph left. Before Madhavendra Puri appeared, the disciplic succession of Madhvacharya had been full of ritualistic ceremonies with hardly any sign of love of God. Madhavendra Puri was the first successor of Madhvacharya to exhibit the symptoms of love of Godhead. In fact, it is said that the tree of devotional service to Lord Krishna sprouted in him and later grew tall and broad in Lord Chaitanya, the incarnation of Krishna for the age of quarrel. Himself a disciple of Madhavendra Puri's disciple Ishwar Puri, Lord Chaitanya spread devotional service throughout India and ordered his disciples to spread devotional service to every town and village in the world. Who knows that? Priti vite acheyada nagaradi gram sarvatra prachara hoibe morenam. So we're being ordered by Lord Chaitanya, he's giving an order to all of us, that it's our duty to spread this message of love of God that Madhavendra Puri was delivering and Lord Chaitanya is delivering throughout the world. So now, after years of careful cultivation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the devotional tree that sprouted in Madhavendra Puri has produced a fast-growing branch called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Prabhupada says, I am ISKCON. International Society for Krishna Consciousness means that anyone is thinking of Krishna, chanting Krishna, spreading Krishna, sharing Krishna with others, he's part of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And anyone who's nonsense and who's neglectful of the order of Guru and doesn't take the process of self-realization seriously, then unfortunately he's like cut off. So we want to be connected to the Chaitanya tree. We want to be connected to Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan mission. And this age of Kali Yuga, the recommended process, Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sango Sangastra Parshadam Jagnai Sankirtan Prayar Yajantihi Sumedasa. So those who are intelligent, says in order to be a devotee, one's considered intelligent, he should worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who with his associates is spreading the Sankirtan movement of chanting the Lord's holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we should not take inconvenience at hearing so many names and sons of this ones and sons of that one. This, it's all cleansing, it's all very purifying. Because simply by following the order of Guru, one is blessed. Srila Prabhupada would often say, I'm unqualified, I'm not a very educated, learned person, I'm just trying to follow the order of my spiritual master. And even he would sit in class in front of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, admitting that this is a very lofty philosophy, but I like to sit and listen. So by following the order of the Guru, even though we may not be retaining, not sinking into our thick skull, still, by that very order, one can make rapid advancement in Krishna consciousness. And so, always remember, Dhanvantari, and stay safe. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.